Hamish Alex. Hard enough without the microphone and the camera and the... not camera, but you know what I mean. They've finally given me a microphone. Thank you for... You didn't really do anything, you're just secretary, but thanks. Yeah, man, it's a real honour and a privilege to be sat up here, and it means a lot. And I was walking to work this morning thinking about this evening, and I was also thinking about a friend of mine called Archie who died earlier this year, and we buried him a couple of weeks ago. And he was like 2 months clean, and then had a relapse, went straight to heroin, and was found in a homeless shelter in Westminster, and to watch his father give his eulogy, and his sister Rose say goodbye to her, him, and the mother in the state that she was in, and there are a lot of empty seats in here tonight, and I really feel that more so now than ever, it's been drummed home to me how important this is, and what a blessing I have to not only be in this room, but to be sitting up here. And I was given that small window, and I took it with both hands. And there are people who didn't, and who haven't, and who are either dead or living some shit existence somewhere. I mean, that is really the best you can hope for. It's just some bare remnants of a life, if you're lucky. And if you're lucky, you might die. You know, it might have killed me slowly, but sorry, it might have killed me quickly, but I think it would have had me holding on for years. Just some fucking mediocre life, trying to pretend like I'm okay. I'd much rather be in here pretending to be an addict than out there pretending not to be. Just a bit about me. I went to my first meeting when I was 18 years old. It was an AA meeting. Don't throw me out just yet, the story gets better. I slipped and slided for 4 years. I'd wake up in police cells and having in blackout headbutted someone for no reason. Fucking hell, man, I was so loose. I was so angry. And I met another sponsor, and he said, "Have you been to NA?" And I thought about headbutting him. But, I said, I was willing to go any lengths at that point. I fucking knew it, man. I knew it deep down. I was just yes, no, and no, it was no, I haven't, and yes, where do I go? And he suggested Tuesday night Bolton's, and I went, and a day at a time. I haven't had a drink or a drug since the 4th of May 2014, and that is because it's because of a lot of things, but it's predominantly because of NA. I mean, fucking hell. That could be here, end of the reading, that could be it, you know, and sorry, this is being recorded. Some 12-year-old might have had their first Valium and be listening to this. And it does say in the literature, if that is you, that you know, then you're more than welcome to come in here. You know, it is not about the amount that you used, it's how it affects you. You know, truth be told, I never took heroin, I never took crack, and therefore I never thought I was a drug addict. But when I did start taking the drugs that I took, I could not stop, and I behaved differently. And if we're just gonna be brutally honest, I had a poxy job in Ballam, and I thought I was Gordon Gekko. No, but that, like, you laugh, but genuinely I thought I was smashing life. Such was my delusion. And only in hindsight do I realize how unwell I was at the time. So that's why I started off by saying in my chair how lucky I am, because if I had gone back out, this window might not have been opened again. And I was speaking to a newcomer, I'm fucking hoping he's asked me to sponsor him, because I need to talk to another recovering addict. We had coffee after a meeting last week, and he was like, you know, I'm gonna get a couple of months, then my stag's coming up, and I'm gonna go back out and smash it, then I'm gonna come straight back. And I get that thinking. You know, I really get that sort of trying to control this and sort of manipulate it around my life. And from my experience, I cannot think my way into this. I have to surrender a day at a time. And I just told him what was said to me and what I've just repeated to you guys, and whether he accepts that or not is up to him. I just, can do is share my experience with him. And I first started trying to get out of myself when I was a very young boy, as you can probably tell. I was sent away to boarding school at the age of 7. We might not have known the age, but I'm sure you could have guessed I was sent away. Doesn't take a rocket scientist. And, you know, at the time, I'm sure I was given a very good education, but I was my father prized me off the handrails outside home. I was just like desperate not to leave. Just don't send me there. Of course, I was sent there, and I think homesickness, if you've ever experienced it, is quite synonymous with heartache. I think they're definitely friends. And I got very close to the gap year student who came over from South Africa to teach rugby, and we would get pissed. We'd get pissed every night. And then we got caught, and he got fired, and I got pissed by myself. Fuck, it's weird going back there. It's just, I must stop swearing. I'm all sounding so posh. I normally put on a bit of a Cockney accent so it helps. hasn't started so far. I did the GSR announcement to my home group, and I sort of started off like this and ended up by saying we gave £600, and I've got to be authentic, I've got to be my real self. It's okay to be me in here. And then when I hear a lot of people say that they started doing drugs when they were 3 years old, sniffing glue and stuff. Truth be told, I started when I was 18, and I just went straight to coke, and I never looked back. So it doesn't matter when you start or what you start taking. If you're an addict, it will have that grip on you, where you just need more. Oh, fuck. And it's all over the place. I appreciate that. Already 5 minutes. Maybe I should do the 40-minute chat. Come back next week. I have a small God of my understanding in my life today. I don't really know what that looks like a lot of the time. And as my life's got bigger, this has become more important to me, and I feel a lot of time like I'm clinging on. Actually, I'm probably doing much better than I think I am. And getting well and feeling well, I don't think, are the same things. I've learned that in here. So if you're sitting here feeling pretty ropey tonight, you're probably doing really well. I like to beat myself up quite a lot. I came in here with a massive ego, as I've already discussed, and my self-esteem was on the floor. And I try and do little esteemable things to pick my self-esteem off the floor. And sometimes I do shit things and my esteem goes straight back down there. I got the microphone and I got the recorder, and I really want to say something pertinent, but the truth is I'm just really happy to be here. And I can feel my sort of voice cracking up, and you know, one of the greatest gifts I've been given is to help another addict, and this kid's going to be 2 years, and I'm not his sponsor anymore, but I love him so much. And another guy's come in, and he's 30 days, and we were at Byron last night, and I was thinking, this is it. Like, this is it. You've got 4 years, 2 years, 30 days, and we're all helping each other fucking right here around this Byron table. Relax. But it means, it's like, I really wear this stuff on my sleeve. I have to be passionate about this. If I'm not passionate about this, something's going wrong. I will get home and listen to myself tonight. I won't, but the thought that I'm out there, I might one day. Or say to a newcomer, just listen to this guy. He's got the same name as you, it's not me. You know, my brother had my brother is bipolar 1 and had a nervous breakdown last year, and he was in Springfield for 4 months, and I was there every day. I showed up every day. And the nurse said to my mother when George was released, that she'd never seen someone turn up so regularly. And I do not share that to give myself an ego boost. That is this program working through me. I promise you that. It didn't feel like a chore going to see him. It was just my duty, and he's my brother, and I'll go to any lengths. You know, a lot of my life is a day at a time in any lengths. Those are the two things I say to a newcomer: are you willing to go to any lengths? And this is just a day at a time. And I haven't spoken about my relationship.
Hallelujah. Amen.
I've done my step four and I am straight.
I never brought it up.
But again, it would be okay if I wasn't, just to...
Oh, thanks.
But I say that joke, you know, when I came in here, everything, you know, I was, this is, I didn't need to share this, but I'm going to, I was probably a little bit homophobic, and I was probably a little bit of a racist, and I was, I've been brought up like that, and those weren't the things I liked about myself, but I didn't know any better. And I work really fucking hard to change those views, because they are not my truth. They're really, really not. And my boss today is a racist and he is a homophobe. And I can really easily slip back into that. And I find he's my character defects are staring me right back in my face. And I find it very difficult to not slip back into that sort of way of life. And what I respect in a man is very different to what I came in here and respected a man. I couldn't care how much you have in your bank account today. I couldn't care where you go to school, where you live in the... Or if you ski in Verbier or Courchevel, what I care about is how you are on the inside. And what, you know, I genuinely believe that. And I've now got to sit here, and that's going to be really nice. And I'm sorry if I've gone over. Thank you.